Okay, today's daf is Kaf Zayin. We're going to start at the middle of Kaf Vav Amud Bet, even actually a little closer to the top. Bai Minei Ravina Me Rava. The first words on the line are Maite Afilu Rabana Modu. That's where we finished yesterday. Bai Minei Ravina Me Rava. Okay, Ravina asks Rava, Nishbal Ki Karu Mistaken Aleha. Let's say he swears he's going to eat something, but it's dangerous for him. Mahu. So now they say, or the reverse. You know, he swears not to, it would be more likely he swears not to eat something, but then he has nothing else to eat except that kikar. So is he allowed to? So they say, Mr. Kane, Lishrei Lamar, what are you talking about? That's pikuach nefesh. Obviously, if you're Mr. Kane, it's going to be allowed. Ela mitzta'er v'achla b'shigigat shvua mai. Let's say you really, really, really wanted to eat it, okay? Right? Imagine that piece of chocolate cake and you're on a diet and you really, really, really... whenever I think of shvuot, I think of diets, you know, where if you swear yourself off of it, so you won't... Okay, so you really, really, really want it. And then, but in the end, as you know you took a shvuah, but in the end you forget you took the shvuah. Achla b'shigat shvuah. So you forgot you took the shvuah. My, what's the situation? Amarle, Tanina... Shav mi yidiyato mevi korban al shigato. But lo shav mi yidiyato, ein mevi korban al shigato. The only time you bring a korban is if you find out you did it and you say, oh, had I realized I had taken the shvuah, I never would have eaten it. But in this case, you would have eaten it anyway because you were dying for that chocolate cake and you were going to eat it whether or not you took the shvuah anyway. So therefore, since lo shav mi yidiyato, ein mevi korban al shigato, then in this case, you wouldn't bring a korban. Okay, because in the end, if you were going to eat it anyway, it happens that you forgot your shvuah, but just if you would have eaten it anyway, then you don't bring a korban.
And that doesn't count as mazid either.
Right, is it mazid? Right, that's a good question. Is it mazid? Right, I assume that what they mean is that you can't get the kapara from the shvuah, in other words, from the korban, that you're not allowed to bring a korban, it doesn't really help you. I don't know if you're exactly mazid to get malkot on it, you're sort of like in an in-between. We've kind of done something, you've done something wrong, but you don't really have a way to get out of it, I assume. I didn't look up what the story is about that. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Gamar bilibo, tzarich shiotzi b'sfatav. If you just think, I swear I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake, but you don't say it. You just think it in your head. You have to actually express it. Shenemar levate b'sfatayim, because it says in the pasuk, we've seen that pasuk, right? Levate b'sfatayim. Oh, nefesh asher, right? Ki tshava levate b'sfatayim lahara ulehetiv.
And someone has to hear it, or?
No, you just have to express it. Right, it's good, right? Tree falls in the forest, exactly. Nobody heard you. Okay. Metive. But now we're going to see that maybe that's not exactly the case, because it seems, okay, there's a brayta that seems to contradict that. Bisvatayim v'lo belev. Bisvatayim means, right, bisvatayim v'lo belev. So therefore, gamar b'libo minai, and how do you know if you just say in your heart, I swear I'm not going to eat that, but you don't actually express it in words, how do we know that you're chayav, which is obviously going against Shmuel, who says you're not chayav. Tamud lamar, l'chol asher yivatei ha'adam b'shvua. Okay, l'chol asher yivatei ha'adam b'shvua. Now, it does say yivatei, which seems to be expressed, although we saw before that people understood yivatei not necessarily as expressed. And what it means here is that it's a riboy again. It's including more things, so it's going to include even l'chol asher, anything you express, meaning even if you express it in your heart. So the Gemara says, Hagufakashya, what do you mean that? That in itself contradicts. Amarta bisvatayim v'lo belev. We started out in saying, bisvatayim v'lo belev, right? So in other words, it started the Brayta saying, you have to express it, and it's not enough, belev. And then it says, gamar b'libo minayin. It seems to say itself in the opposite. V'hadar amar gamar b'libo minayin. So how does that work? So in other words, we have two contradictions here before... This obviously contradicts Shmuel, but before we even get to the contradiction on Shmuel, we're going to say the Brayta itself has an inner contradiction because it seems to say only if you express it, and then it says even if you gamar b'libo. So halokasha, hachi kamar. Rav Sheshet says like this. This is what it means to say bisvatayim v'lo shegamar b'libo lahotzi bisvatav v'lo hotzi. If you think, okay, I'm going to say this shvuah out loud, and then you don't say it out loud, then that's not a shvuah. But gamar b'libo stam, but if you just say in your heart, I swear I'm not going to do this, then you're going to be chayav. Talmud lamar l'chol ha'shayivate. Okay, so there's two kinds of gamar b'libo. One is you intended in your heart to express the shvuah in words. Then if you don't express it, it's not a shvuah. The other is if you just intended in your heart to you swear without actually expressing it in words, then you're going to be chayav. Okay, so if you had it in your heart that you were going to say it but didn't say it, that's when it's not a shvuah. So now the Gemara says, but still el Shmuel kashya, because what does Shmuel say? Gamar b'libo tzarich l'yishiyotzi b'sfatav. He seems to be saying generally, anytime you're gamar b'libo, it's not a shvuah unless you actually express it, and that goes against our understanding here. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Teretz v'eim ha'achi. Rav Sheshet says, explain it like this. B'sfatayim, v'lo shegamar b'libo lahotzi pat chitim v'hotzi pat se'olim. What does it mean, the first b'sfatayim in the Braita? We're going to now explain it a little differently, even though Rav Sheshet explained it one way to resolve the inner contradiction. In order to resolve the contradiction, and Shmuel explains it a little differently. You had in your mind to say, you thought to yourself, okay, I'm going to swear that I'm not going to eat wheat, bread made out of wheat. But then when you expressed it, what did you say? By accident, you said, hotzi patsa orim. You said barley, bread made out of barley. So in other words, that's not going to be a shvuah. But gamar b'libo lahotzi pat chitin. Now, what's the gamar b'libo minayin? If you had in your head, and you in your heart, and you said, I want to swear off pat chitin. And in the end, what did you say? Hotzi pat stam. You just said bread. But when you meant bread, you meant you had in your mind wheat, bread made out of wheat, and not any other kind of bread. So hotzi pat stam minayin. How do we know that you're going to be chayav only on pat chitin? Talmud lamar l'chol asher yivateh adam. Okay, in other words, your gamar b'libo, since here it's not a case of where you said something different, you said something, it just wasn't as specific as what you intended, so what you intended in your heart basically counts, right, that's a shavua. Meitive. But now we have another contradiction. When it comes to a neder, if you take a neder to bring a korban, okay, this is a little bit different because it's not a shvuah shel ochal, it's not a neder, asur kikar ze alai, but it's a neder saying, I'm going to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash. It says, motzat sfatecha tishmor v'asita. So what do they say? Ein li ela shotzi b'sfatav. Again, it says, motzat sfatecha, what comes out of your mouth, what you express. Gamar b'libo minayin, how do we know that you're also chayav if you just think in your heart, I want to bring a korban? Kol nidiv lev. Okay, right? Any nidiv lev. Right, that already includes, right, this is by the people who brought to the Mishkan, right? It says, Kumi etchem truma l'Hashem, kol nidiv lev yiviyana et trumat Hashem, zahav chesef u'nechoshet. So what do they say? There you see that if you intend to bring something to the Mikdash, even if you intend it in your heart, since it says kol nidiv lev, you're already chayav to bring it. Okay, so there, what do you see? Gamar b'libo works, right? So now, what do we say? Shanei hatam dechtiv kol nidiv lev. There it specifically says kol nidiv lev, and therefore it means even in your heart. But by shvua, it doesn't say that. So then they say, v'nigmar mine mishum dehava truma v'kodshim shnei k'tivim habim ke'echad. I didn't read it right. V'nigmar mine. Why don't we learn from there that it's, as we call it, a binyan av, it's bone av, that teaches you that kol nidiv lev, what you do in your heart works, should teach you about other things. That here you had something you're supposed to express, but yet you also, if you do it in your heart, that's enough. So therefore, why don't we learn from there to our case also? So what's the answer? Mishum dehava truma b'kodshim shnei k'tuvim habim ke'echad. V'chol shnei k'tuvim habim ke'echad em elamdim. This appears by truma and appears by kodshim. So because of that, we say that's two psukim. When you have two psukim, right? Normally we do a binyan av when you have one, and then we say, oh, it teaches you everywhere else. But once it's mentioned in two places, then what do we assume? It's only relevant for those two places. There's a whole debate here about what the truma is. Because if you notice, the pasuk we quoted by Kodshim was really the pasuk about truma, about bringing, what's truma? Truma could be one of two things. Truma could be truma to masro, which some people say that's what it's referring to here. Other people say, no, it's truma hamishkan, giving a truma, a donation to the Mishkan. And therefore, it would be, and, but the Kodshim Pasuk was learned from the same place. That's a little bit confusing here. But what they're going to assume is, since they assume it applies to Truma and Kodshim, therefore it applies to these two things. And any time we have something where it says it in two places, Eimelam Deim, although some people actually think that's not the case. They think two is Melameid to other cases, but three is not. So then they're going to question that. Hani Chalaman Damar Eimelam Deim. Ela Laman Damar Melamdim. Those who say that Shnei Ketuvim Habin Kecha do teach, just three don't. Once you have three already, that for sure doesn't. But two would. Ma'i Kalameimar. So it's a different answer. Habi Chulim V'Kodshim, V'Chulim V'Kodshim Lo Gamrinan. That's a case of Kodshim. And our case of taking a Shvuah is a regular case of Chulim. So we can't learn from Truma, from Hekdesh to Chulim, from Kodshim to Chulim. Okay, one interesting thing at relevant end of the year, people like to give donations. So there's a whole debate here about whether tzedakah would, if you think in your heart, I'm going to give money to tzedakah, is that considered that you have to give it? Okay, is it treated like kodshim? Because tzedakah, you know, sort of like has a, it's not exactly kodshim. It's a bit of an issue here, you know. But with that, when they say truma here, would that include trumot, any kind of donation? So that would imply that if you think in your heart that you're going to give tzedakah, then you have to give it. Or those who say no, that comes into the general chulin category, and you know it's a different case and it's not the same thing here, and it wouldn't necessarily be applied. So it's a very interesting, you know, relevant machloka that comes out of the sugya. Okay, new mishnah. Nishpa levatel kavitzvah velo bitel. Patur. If you swear, okay, we've seen this mishnah already. This is quoted a bunch of times. If you, or at least once, nishba levatel et hamitzvah. If you say, and we've definitely talked about this topic more than once, but the mishnah might have only been quoted once, maybe twice. Anyway, you swear that you're not going to do a mitzvah, and then, okay, I swear I am not going to eat matzah on Pesach night, and then lo bitel. In fact, I ate matzah. Okay, so I swore I wasn't going to eat matzah, but I was mekayem the mitzvah and I did it. Patur, you're patur from a korban. Likayem, I swear I'm going to be mekayem a mitzvah. V'lo kiyem, and I wasn't mekayem the mitzvah. Patur, why? Shahaya bidin shehe chayav. It would have been logical to say you'd be chayav. Kedivei Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Okay, it would have been, this is a strange mishnah. The mishnah says, you would have thought you'd be chayav based on the logic of Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, which is what? Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. If in a case of reshut, where you say, I swear I'm going to eat, right? That's all reshut. You weren't commanded, you weren't mushba va'ome mehar sinai. By the way, he uses the mushba va'ome mehar sinai in the opposite context. Usually we use mushba va'ome mehar sinai, which means ein shvua chala shvua. You already swore you can't do this, or you can do it. Therefore, your second shvua doesn't count. But he uses it, and I actually wanted to do a check. I didn't get to this, but I'm curious if he's the one who coined the term Mushbava Ome Mehar Sinai. And it's interesting if he did, because everybody else took it and said the opposite. What's he saying? He's saying if Rishut, where you're not even Chayav, who cares if you eat or don't eat? That's not something that God commanded you to do, and that you're Mushbava Ome Mehar Sinai. And yet, if you don't keep to your Shvua, Hareyu Chayav Alav. He's got a very interesting logic, right? He says, which makes sense. If you swear some random thing, and we're going to make you chayav to bring a shvuah if you don't keep to that. Obviously, a mitzvah, if you swear you're going to do a mitzvah, shumushba alav me'ar sinai, einu din sheyeh chayav aleh, right? If you swear you're going to do a mitzvah, and then you don't do it, all the more so we're going to make you chayav a shvuah, because you should have kept, right? You're not only obligated by your shvuah, but you're obligated from the fact that you accepted it at har sinai. So you're confused because we've always said the opposite logic, but you have to always remember, you have to forget what your assumptions are. We're so biased because we know Ein Shvuah Chal Shvuah, but he doesn't hold by that. He says, what do you mean? It's a much more important Shvuah, let's put it like that.
He's saying the Shvuah holds.
He's saying it's a much more important Shvuah when you're Nishba to do a mitzvah. So if you don't do the mitzvah, you should for sure be Chayav. And then, if that's already the case, that's l'kayim, right? And the Tzitzis is talking about, if you say, I swear I'm going to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, then you don't do it. Not only did you not eat matzah the first night of Pesach, but you're also chayav because you canceled it, because you didn't do your shvuah. What he would say about levatel tamitzvah, it's not clear, right? And as they're saying, logic would state that if he says that, then it would apply across the board. So enu din shechayav alav. So amru lo. What did the chachamim say to him? Lo, im amarta b'shvuat harishut shaken asaba alav kehen. Tomar b'shvuah mitzvah shelo asa ba'alav ken. It's exactly what they said. Say, but your shvuah, you can't say in the negative. You can't say, I swear I won't eat matzah on Pesach, because you can't swear to go against a mitzvah. Okay, so therefore, shim nishba levatel v'lo bitel patur. And therefore, if you swear to be mevatel a mitzvah and you're not mevatel the mitzvah, you're obviously going to be patur. Okay, so therefore they say your logic doesn't hold. It's interesting that they don't say in the Mishnah here that your mishpah v'omer merasin ve'ein shvuah chal shvuah. There's a whole different reason. Okay, again, I had thoughts to really look into this more in terms of historically when I have to look back. Maybe I'll get to it at some point about when ein isur chal isur ein shvuah chal shvuah mishpah v'omer merasin came into play. At what time was? Was it clear in the time of the Mishnah, or maybe not at all? And maybe he's the only one who uses it in the Mishnah for a different purpose, and maybe this Mishpah v'omer merasin is much more a later thing. I don't know. I'm really just throwing it out there. I have to say I didn't really look it up yet. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Yachol nishba levatel et hamitzvah v'lo bitel yehe chayav. Now we're going to get another drasha. How do we know that the pasuk is only talking about reshut? We're going to have a braita that's not actually going to be very clear, and we're going to have to explain it better. So you might have thought, Levatel, it's very interesting, by the way, we've had a number of braitot here that are totally incomprehensible, right? The Gemara has to say, what are they talking about? This seems to have, you know, contradictions, or this one's going to be totally circular reasoning, okay? They're going to learn one thing from the other, and then the other thing from the other thing, as if, like, well, where does it, you know, where we learn it from in the first place? So, Yachol nishba levatel et hamitzvah, velo bitel. You might have thought, if you swear that you're going to not do a mitzvah, and then you did actually do the mitzvah, yehe chayav, you might have thought you'd be chayav a korban, right? Same thing halacha we were talking about in the Mishnah. Talmud lamar, lahara o lehetif. It says in the pasuk, to do good, or to do bad, or to do good, your swear. Ma hatava reshut, af ha-ra'a reshut. So now the Gemara assumes the hatava is reshut. To do something good means a dvar reshut. Therefore, also the hara'a is also dvar reshut. Which means, otzi, therefore, it's excluding the case of nishba levatel et hamitzvah, that would be a hara'a of mitzvah, right? I swear I'm not going to do a mitzvah, that's something bad. V'lo bitel, and yet you did actually do it. Shu patur, okay, that's excluded, because just like hatava is reshut, okay, this is the part that's going to be a little circular, because hatava is reshut, that we know is a fact, the Gemara is saying, the Braita is saying. Okay, hatava we know is a reshut, therefore the hara'a also has to be a hatava reshut. But we don't know yet how we know the hatava is for sure reshut. Okay, that's part of the issue here. Yachol nishba lekayem et hamitzvah velo kiyem. You might have thought, let's say I take a shvuah lehetiv, to do a mitzvah, and I don't in fact do the mitzvah. You might have thought I'd be chayav. Talmud lomar, lehara'a lehetiv. Mahara'a reshut, okay, here comes the circular reasoning, just like hara'a is reshut, af hatava reshut, okay, therefore hatava must be also reshut. Otsi nishba lekayem et hamitzvah velo kiyem shu patur, so therefore that's also excluded. Yachol nishba lahara la'atzmo velo hara, let's say I swear I'm going to hit myself, okay, or I'm not, you know, something bad to myself, velo hara, and he doesn't do it. Yachol yehe patur. You might have thought you'd be patur, because maybe you can't swear to do something bad to yourself. Talmud lomar lahara o lehetiv. Ma hatava reshut, af hara'a reshut. Avi nishba lahara latzmo v'lo hara. So now what do we say? Since to hit yourself is a dvar reshut, and since it's biyadcha, and since we're going to see the difference between that and hitting someone else. Hitting someone else is really like nishba levatel et hamitzvah, because you're doing an avera, you're hitting someone, you're not allowed to do that according to the Torah. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, although, I mean, you could in theory say, depending on how hard you're hitting yourself, but they don't view it like that. You say you're going to do something bad to yourself, that's your reshut. You have rights to do that, and therefore, it's included. Yachol nishba lahara la'achirim v'lo hara shehe chayav. Maybe then, if you do it to others, tamud lamar lahara leitiv. Ma tava reshut, af hara reshut, otzi nishba lahara l'achirim v'lo hara, she'ein ha-reshut biyado, since he's not allowed to, he doesn't have the reshut to do it. Here they don't exactly use the terminology of mitzvah or not, but you don't have reshut to do that. Dvar reshut can mean it's not a mitzvah, but also dvar reshut means you have permission to do that. So you have permission to do to your own body whatever you want, but you don't have permission to do to someone else's body. And therefore, that's not reshut.
So you're allowed to hurt yourself, but not to the death. Like, you're not allowed to commit suicide.
Oh, right. Yeah, you definitely can't do that. Right.
But you could do something that would get you close to that.
Yeah, I don't know how. I'm not sure to what extent they're talking about lahara latzmecha. You know what it means. I mean, first of all, just not eating is a lahara latzmecha. You know, I swear I won't eat. That could be a hara latzmecha. You know, depending on how long. Again, we already said if you say you won't eat for, can't remember now. If was it 7 days? You can't sleep for 7 days. That's not a shvuah. Sleep is three. I think food might be seven. I don't remember. But you know, there's extreme. You know, there's an extent to what you can and what you can't. But here they're just talking about it as a general. Minayin lirabot hatavat achirim. So how do we get, if you can't do hara'at achirim, how do you know you could do hatavat achirim? Let's say, I swear I'm going to give you a present tomorrow. So that I can do, but why? Don't we say it has to be bilav behein? If I can't say, I swear I'm going to hit you, then how can I say, I swear I'm going to do something nice to you? So how do we know? Now, it's not exactly opposites, okay? It's true. But the concept of hatavat achirim is the opposite of hara'at achirim. So therefore, how do we know that minayin lerabot hatavat achirim? Talmud lamar o lehitiv. It says, right? Lahara o lehitiv. It could have just said, somebody who swears lahara u lehitiv. Now, this is a good question. Can you say that? And would it mean that or that? Or would it mean that and that? If you remember, we've had machlokot about this. So they're going to get into that. But let's go on for a minute. Right now, they're going to say the word O in that pasuk comes to include something else. It's an unnecessary word. If it's an unnecessary word, we can learn from here, hatavat achiri. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, this is just the end of the Braita. It's like going back to something earlier. Ezohi hara'at achirim. What is this hara'at achirim that we're talking about? Aket ploni ve'ptzat mocho. Okay, I'll hit ploni and I'll knock his brains out. Okay? Umimai dekrai b'dvar rish. Okay, so that's the end of the Braita. Now we want to go back to the very beginning of the Braita. The whole complicated thing. Umimai dekrai b'dvar rishuktive. Dilma b'dvar mitzvaktive. How do we know? And the Braita kept assuming we know it's Dvar Rishut. We know Hatavaz Rishut and therefore Hara'az Rishut. We know Hara'az Rishut, therefore Hatavaz Rishut. So number one, where do we even know this from? And all the more so, they were learning one from the other and then the other from the other. It made no sense. So what do they say? Lo Salkadazach. It doesn't make sense that they would be talking about a Dvar Mitzvah. Why? Debi'inan Hatava Dumiya Dahara'a. The Hara'a Dumiya Dahatava. Remember we said this. They have to be, it's like a Lavahain. It has to be, the hara'ah has to be, proportional to the hara'ah. They have to be the same type thing. They have to be comparable. So how does this work? De'akish hara'ah lahatava, right? You basically make a hekesh. They're right next to each other in the pasuk. So we learn what's true for one is true for the other. Akish hara'ah lahatava. Now, let's try it. Okay, this is like algebra. We're going to fill in the variables, okay? Ma hatava eina bebitul mitzvah. Let's try hatava bebitul mitzvah. There's no such thing as hatava bebitul mitzvah. Why? Because if you say, what does it mean a hatava bebitul mitzvah? Hatava is, let's say, I will eat, right? I will do something positive. I'm going to eat. So let's say you say, I swear I'm going to eat chametz on Pesach. Or I swear I'm going to eat on Yom Kippurim. That's a bitul mitzvah, right? Now, is there such a thing? Is that a hatava? Of course it's not a hatava, because in the end, it's a hatava, a physical hatava of eating, but it's a spiritual hara'ah. You're eating on Yom Kippur, you're eating chametz on Pesach, you're doing a hara'ah. So there is no such thing, right? Since there's no hatava bebitul mitzvah, af hara'ah eina bebitul mitzvah. Therefore, to say, I'm not going to eat on Yom Kippur, right? Or no, you would say, sorry, this is the confusing part, 1 second. Af harayino bebitul mitzvah. Right, if you say, I'm not going to eat, right, this is what it means. This is why it's confusing. If they're not talking about a hara'ah bebitul mitzvah. They're saying, what's the opposite of a bitul mitzvah? A kiyum mitzvah. If you say, I'm not going to eat on Yom Kippur, that's a hara'ah, because you say, I'm not going to eat. But that, right, gufa, hara'ah gufa hatavahi, that's a good thing. Right, so the hara'ah becomes a good thing because you're actually keeping a mitzvah. So therefore, there's no such thing bebitul mitzvah. Now we're going to do the exact reverse. Akish hatava lahara'ah. Right, now we're going to compare that we're going to take hara'ah. We're going to start from there and compare it to hatava when it comes to a kiyum mitzvah. We're going to say the exact opposite. Ma hara'ah ina b'kiyum mitzvah. Just like you can't do a hara'ah, I won't eat on Yom Kippur. And that's a kiyum mitzvah. You can't do that because that's actually a hatava, because it's a good thing not to eat on Yom Kippur. Af hatava ein a kiyum mitzvah. Therefore, you can't swear that you're going to keep a mitzvah, right? I swear I'm going to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, even though that would be, right? Because hatava gufa hara'ahi, right? If you take the reverse case and you say, I will eat on Yom Kippur, right? That's not going to work. So therefore, there's no such thing in a kiyum mitzvah. Okay, you can't do a hatava and a kiyum mitzvah. So each one you learn, in other words, you could in theory do a hara'ah and a bito mitzvah, a hatava. You could do a hatava and a kiyum mitzvah, and you could do a hara'ah. One second, I said the opposite. You could do a hatava in a kiyum mitzvah. I swear I will eat matzah on Pesach. And you could do the opposite in the hara'ah. But because the other one doesn't work that way, so they basically cancel each other out because of this hekesh. So therefore, it can't be a mitzvah. That's how they come to the conclusion that this can't be a mitzvah. So now they say, ihachi bidvar harashut nami lo mishkach halav. But then also, you wouldn't have this in a dvar harashut, okay, because you could have the same question here. Because you could have... You could have something where you said, you could have the same exact case, where you say, I swear I'm going to eat cake, okay? A lot of cake. Now, if you say that, right, you say that's a hatava, but it's not really because it's bad for your body to eat a lot of cake. Or let's take another example. I swear I'm going to smoke lots of cigarettes, right? That's maybe more, you know, even more convincing then. So if you say that, that's a hatava, but that's clearly not a hatava. So they're saying you could even have the same question in Dvar Rishut, where a hatava can also be a hara'ah. So therefore, why are you assuming it's also Dvar Rishut? Either which way, it causes a problem. So now what do they say? Elami de'itzdirich o lerabot hatavat achirim, shmamina bidvar harishut k'tive. Now they say, it comes from this. Since the word o was unnecessary, what did we say? We're using it to teach you hatavat achirim. So we're assuming that it's talking about Dvar Rishut. Why is that? De'isal kadatach bidvar mitzvah k'tive. If it was already talking about, in other words, the whole premise here is now, we needed a special drasha to teach you hatavat achirim. So now they're going to say, if you thought it was a dvar mitzvah, k'tivi, hashta hara'at achirim idrabe, hatavat achirim mibaya. If you said that you could it applied to a dvar mitzvah, then what would be a hara'ah and a dvar mitzvah? You could say, hara'at achirim, right? If you could be nishba levatel et hamitzvah, then you could be nishba, I swear I'm going to hit somebody. So if you can swear, I swear I'm going to hit somebody, then obviously you can swear, I swear I'm going to give you a gift tomorrow. So therefore, there would be no chidush, we wouldn't need the O to teach you hatavat achirim. So from the fact that the O is unnecessary and it teaches hatavat achirim, teaches us that the pasuk must not be talking about dvar mitzvah, because there'd be no reason at all to need a drasha for that. So idrabe hatavat achirim mibai, you would need that. So now they say, wait a minute, this O, you're assuming the O is unnecessary. But hi O, why do you say this O is unnecessary for a drasha? Mibai le lechalek, you need it to distinguish, to say it's either this or that. That's generally why we use the word O in a sentence, right? We want to say this or that. So isn't it needed lechalek? So now they answer, lechalek lo tzarich kra. You don't need the word O. And according to Torah rules, if it doesn't have the word O, we assume it means O anyway. Okay? How do we know this? So first of all, this is only going to work according to one guy's opinion. There's no machloket about this. Hanicha l'Rabbi Yonatan. This only works according to Rabbi Yonatan. By the way, we've seen this before in Sanhedrin. Ela l'Rabbi Yoshia ma'ika l'memra. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, you would need the O l'chalek. So now, what's their opinion? D'tanya. Ish asher kalel et aviv ve'et imo. What does that sound like? It doesn't say et aviv o et imo. It says et aviv ve'et imo. Ein li ela aviv ve'imo. So the pshat sounds like aviv ve'imo, which by the way, this is going to be Rabbi Yoshia, because he thinks that without the o, it doesn't mean o. It means end, like it sounds like. So that's why he's going to be problematic, because again, I just want to remind you, because by the time we get to the end, you're going to forget. Oh, or you might forget. When I was learning and preparing it, I kept forgetting, so that's why I'm. So, O is unnecessary because it needs to teach Hatavat HaChirim, and that's how we got to the conclusion that since we needed a special drasha for Hatavat HaChirim, it must not be takef in a dvar mitzvah. So now, they're going to say, but oh, you need lechalek, and therefore it's not extra to teach hatavat achirim. And oh, you need lechalek according to Rabbi Yoshia, because Rabbi Yoshia thinks that in general, if you say vi, right, lahara ulehetiv, it would have meant both. Okay? Rabbi Yonatan, we wouldn't have that question. So now let's see. So he says, it sounds like from the pasuk, you have to curse both your parents in order to get punished. And how do you know that if it's just your mother and not your father, and obviously the reverse also, that you be chayav? Talmud lavar, aviv v'imo kilel. Aviv kilel, imo kilel. Since it says aviv v'imo kilel at the end, and since imo is next to kilel at the beginning, and aviv is next to the word kilel, at the end there, imo is juxtaposed to kilel, and at the beginning, aviv is juxtaposed to kilel. So they learn that each one individually. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. So if it weren't for that special drasha, he would have needed the word O in order to teach it. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Mashma Shnehem Kechad, Umashma Echad B'fnei Atzmo. That's from the Pshat, Et Aviv, Et Imo. That means either both, one or the other. It doesn't make a difference. Ad Shifrot Lecha Katuv Yachdav. Unless the Pasuk says, together, right? Imo V'Aviv Yachdav. Then you would know, like, Lo Tachrosh Shur V'Chamor, right? Lo Tachrosh Shur V'Chamor Yachdav. Then it's Yachdav, okay? But otherwise, it would be separate. So now we're going to say no. Afilu, so remember, the question's on Rabbi Yoshia, because don't you need the Ola Chalek, and therefore it doesn't teach Havad HaKharim, which means that we can't really prove that the Pasuk isn't talking about Tvar Mitzvah. Afilu Tema Rabbi Yoshia, V'Savrala Ke Rabbi Akiva. You could say it's Rabbi Yoshia, but you could say, very simply, that Rabbi Yoshia holds like Rabbi Akiva. Didarish, in other words, now we're going to say it's not because the O is extra, and it teaches Hatavat HaKharim, right? It teaches you Hatavat HaKharim is included, which you would need only if you said it wasn't talking about a Dvar Mitzvah, but for a different reason, because he holds like Rabbi Akiva very simply. Now we're going back to the other reason we saw about a Dvar Mitzvah being excluded. Didarish Riboyu Mi'utai. Remember we saw this yesterday? Right? That he's Doresh Riboyu Mi'ut V'Riba, right? And what does it say? So when it's Mirabeh, at the end of the Pasuk, Chol Asher Yivateh, right? Hadam Shvua, that includes anything. So my mi'eit, you remember? It's only mi'eit, one specific thing. And what did we say? It's mi'eit dvar mitzvah. So that's how we know that the pasuk is not talking about a dvar mitzvah. Because there's a riboy mi'ut u'mi'ut, riboy, therefore the mi'ut is dvar mitzvah. And therefore, O is left lechalek, basically. Okay, you can see it's in parentheses, whether you read it or not, but that's the point, that the O is left lechalek. So now they're going to say like this. If you're darshaning riboy miyut riboy, so if you say it's all talking about dvar harishut, then what's the miyut? The miyut is dvar mitzvah. Ela iamar bidvar mitzvah k'tiv mimai kamimait. But if you say that the pasuk is talking about dvar mitzvah, there's nothing left lima'et. Okay? It is interesting because there's still what lima'et, because if you remember Rabbi Yishmael had all these other things, he was mima'et, right? But the assumption is that we're within Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva wasn't mima'et, all those things. So therefore, we're saying if you say Rabbi Yoshia goes like Rabbi Akiva's shita, and then there's no way to say it's Dvar Mitzvah, because then everything would be included, and then there'd be no way to exclude anything. And there is a mi'ut in the pasuk, and therefore it must be a Dvar Mitzvah. So we've seen two different ways to learn Dvar Mitzvah, either because Riboy Miyut V'Riboy, and it's Mima'e Dvar Mitzvah, and otherwise there'd be nothing Lima'e, or you say this O is teaching Harat Achirim, and because of that, it can't possibly be, because Harat Achirim would already be included if we included Dvar Mitzvah. Okay, right, because that would be Levatel Dvar Mitzvah, in which case you wouldn't need the O to teach you Hatavat Achirim, because if Hara'at Achirim is there, then for sure Hatavat Achirim. The whole Chidush was, since Hara'at Achirim isn't part of it, the Chidush is Hatavat Achirim is though. Okay, even though usually you need Lavahain and the opposites, but here it would. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Now we're going back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera's line. Ma'im harishut. Remember his whole logic? What did he say? If rishut she'eno mushba alav mehar sinai, hareyu chayav alav, so mitzvah, right? That's all the more so we want him to keep it because he's mushba mehar sinai. Eino din, shouldn't he be chayav a korban on this? So now, what did Rabbanan say back? Rabbanan said, Abulo, im amarta b'shvuat harishut, sheken asab alav kehen, tomar b'shvua mitzvah, shelo asab alav behen, right? They said, there's no lav behen here, because you can't be nishba. They're assuming, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera agrees, that you can't be nishba levatel et ha-mitzvah. So now they say, v'rabbanan shapir kamar leil Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Right? They had, it's logical to say, that you can't How could you possibly swear to go against what the Torah says? So what would Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera respond? Because his response is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, Amar Lecha, he could say, Atu hatavat acherim, la bafagav deleite bichlal hara'at acherim, v'rabi rachmana, hachanami b'kiu mitzvah, afagav deleite b'bitu mitzvah, rabi rachmana. He says like this, just like we have hatavat acherim, which you can't do hara'at acherim, right? And as everyone agrees, you can't do hara'at acherim because it goes against the Torah. And yet, we allow you to be nishba lahativ to mishu. So the same thing we could say by a mitzvah. You can't be nishba levatel et ha-mitzvah, but you could be nishba lekayem et ha-mitzvah. These are exceptions. You see, they made an exception by hatavat acherim, so why wouldn't they make an exception by kiyum mitzvah? So Rabbi Rachmana, so hachanami b'kiyum mitzvah afagav deleite b'bitu mitzvah Rabbi Rachmana. Okay, v'rabbanan, so what are they going to say? Hatam iti below etiv, hachami ite below ekayem. So now they come with, going back to what we said before, but what's the opposite? What's the opposite of hatavat acherim? Say, I'm going to give you a present. What's the opposite? I swear I'm not going to give you a present. That's not something, of course I can say that if I want. That's not against what the Torah says. It's the opposite of, and this is exactly what, you know, I saw some expressions before when I said it. Right? If you say, I swear I'm going to give you a gift, it's not the opposite of saying, I swear I'm going to punch you in the face. Those are not opposites. So therefore, there is a case of love in the hatavat acherim, which is lo etiv. I just won't do something good for you. But there's no such thing, right? Kiyum mitzvah, the opposite would be bitul mitzvah, right? Lo akayem et mitzvah. That already is against what the Torah says. So therefore, that's what the Rabbana would say is, that's not love, right? That has love in, and that doesn't. So, you know, there isn't. Okay. Now we go back to another Mishnah. This is, it's like a little easier because we already learned all these Mishnayot. Shvua shala ochal kikarzo. I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. Shvua shala ochlana. Shvua shala ochlana. I swear I'm not going to eat it. I swear I'm not going to eat it. We're going to obviously get to why is the first one shala ochal and the next two are shala ochlana. And why does it have to say it three times? Because it would have been enough to say it twice. Ve'achlan, then you eat the kikar. Eino chayav ela achat. Okay, you're only chayav one. That's why two would have been enough. If you say it twice, you're also only chayav one. So we're going to have those two questions, which is why does the language change, and why does it have to say it three times? Zohi shvuat bitoy. Remember, we had a whole drasha on this. This is a shvuat bitoy shechayavim al zdona makot v'al shikata korban olav yireid. Now, this is your classic shvua, okay, which right, is talking really about the shvua shel ochal. Right now, they're kind of off of the three times. But the point is, a shvua shel ochal kikar zeh is your standard shvua bitoy, where you're going to be chayav if you do it, if you then go eat that kikar b'mezi, knowing well, full well, that you made the shvua, then you're going to be chayav malkot. And if you forgot that you made the shvua, you took the shvua and you ate it, you'd be chayav a korban olav yoreid. Shvuat shav, this is actually strange, this really belongs in the next Mishnah. Shvuat shav, if you make a shvuat shav, chayavin os donam akov al shigata patur. Okay, Shvuat Shav is different from Shvuat Bitoy. There you make an unnecessary Shvua, which we talked about before. We'll get into more next Mishnah. You're Chayav, if you do it b'mezid, you're Chayav Malkot. If you do it b'shogeg, you're Patur from a Korban. You don't get a Korban at all. So it's similar in terms of the Malkot, but it's different in terms of the Shkaga case. Lamali lemitne, so why does the Gemara immediately starts? Why does it have to say Shvua Shalochal? And then it says Shvua Shalochlena. So what does it do? It's there to teach you Hakamash Malan. Tama da amar shelo ochal, vahadar amar shelo ochlena, delo machayv elachada. It's trying to teach you that specifically in this order, it's only going to be chayav achad. Aval amar shelo ochlena, but if you said, I swear I'm not going to eat it, vahadar amar shelo ochal kikarzeh, mechayv tarte. Then you're going to be chayv too. Why is that? Kidarava, like Rava, dama Rava, like Rava explained, shvua shelo ochal kikarzeh. If you say this lashon, okay, we're going to now learn there's a difference between the lashon of what you mean when you say ochal kikarzo and when you say shelo ochlena. If you say shvua shelo ochal kikarzo, this is the classic case we've always talked about. Kevan shacham imena kizayit, chayav. When are you chayav? When you eat a shir, because it's a shir achila. Again, not according to, I think it was Rabbi Akiva who said you're chayav even a mashu, right? It was Rabbi Akiva. But assuming we're not holding by that shita, you have to eat a kizayit to be chayav. But if you say shelo ochlena, what does it mean, lo ochlena? I won't eat it. So what does that mean? Eino chayav ad sheyochal et kula. You have to eat the entire thing. So that means if you started by saying shvur shel ochlena, you were only forbidden eating the entire kikar. So when you then took a shvur and said shvur shel ochal kikar zo, you're now chayav on more than you were chayav before, and that's called an isur mosif, which we already said, an isur mosif, you're adding on to it, right? You're saying, not only is the whole thing forbidden to me, but even a kezayit is forbidden to me. So then your second shvu is going to be chal. But if you say it in the order of shalo chal, even a kezayit, and then you say, I won't eat the whole thing, well, obviously the whole thing, once you eat a kezayit, it's already included, and therefore it won't apply. Shvu shalo chlen aval chal eino chayav el echat, so hatu lamali, why did you have to bring all three cases? What's it coming to teach you? And this is something we've seen before. That while you're only high of one korban, the shvua is still there. The shvua doesn't, this is, we've talked about this in many different cases, like tuma hutra b'tzibur or tuma dechuya, right? Is it when we say everyone's tamei or the majority of the people are tamei, so we allow you to bring the korban pesach even though the majority of people are tamei, because tuma hutra b'tzibur, does that mean that people, like, there's still tuma, it's just that we're going to say we're overriding it? Or is it tuma dechuya, that it's, there is no tuma. It's like we basically wipe clean slate. It's as if nobody's tamei. So here it's the same thing. Do we say that when you say these three shvuot, the second two are just disappear, they're non-existent? Or are they there, we're just not mechayev for them? Now, what's the relevance? Here's the relevance. Because if you say the shvuot is still there, which is what they're trying to say, and that's why they brought three, to show that if one disappears, then there'll be another one. And the other one's still there. And if the next one gets knocked out somehow, the next one will still be there. If there's some revach, there's some place for it to be, chayla, it will be takef. L'mai hilchata, what would be the relevance? L'chidarava. Da'amarava, she'im nish'al ala rishona, al talo shniya tachteha. Okay, if you go to a chacham and you say, listen, I took the shvua, shalochal kikarzo, I want to get rid of it, and the chacham basically cancels out, just like you could do it for a neder, you could do she'elat shvuah, it's a little bit different, like there's hafarat nedarim and she'elat shvuah. So you can ask, you can basically get it removed. So if you get that first one removed, the second one is still there. If you get the second one removed, the third one's still there. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach you. That you're not chayav a shvua on them. This is like we saw many cases also before. You might not be chayav a shvua, but you are chayav malkut if you do b'mezid, or right? So you're not chayav a shvua, but the shvua is still there. So if somehow the first one got erased, then the second one would be chayav. Lema maseyele, why don't we suggest that this could provide a support for this? Misha nadar shtei nezirot. Someone who says, I'm going to be a nazir twice. Now, what do you generally do, if you remember? Each stam nezirut is 30 days. So you become a nazir for 30 days. You bring your korban, you finish all that, and then you immediately start your second nezirut. So, mana rishona v'yifrish aleha korban. Okay, so he does the first 30 days, and then he separates a korban. V'achar kach nish'al ala rishona. But then he asks to cancel the first nezirut. Al talo shniya barishona. He doesn't have to wait 60 days. The 30 days that he did count for the second one then. Okay, so wouldn't that be the same thing? So now they say, hachi hashta, what are you comparing apples and oranges? Hatam nizir mi'aita. Dechimani larishona, bai mahadra mimne lashnia velo she'ela. Hacha shvur shnia mi'aita klal. He says, but those two aren't comparable. Why? When you took two niziriot, so if, let's say you hadn't done Sheila, so you would have done the first Nizirut, and then you would have done the second Nizirut. But in the case of a Shavua, if you hadn't canceled the first Shavua, the second Shavua never would have been Chal at all. It would have been ignored entirely, right? It's an irrelevant statement. So you can't compare that to Nizirut, where the Nizirut from the beginning meant something. Whereas here, your statement of shvuah didn't actually mean anything. So you can't use that as a proof. They're not saying it's wrong, but they're saying the proof is not a good proof because nizirut is different. When two things are actually relevant at the time, then obviously when one gets canceled, the other one will fill in its place. But when you take the shvuah shel ochal, and shvuah shel ochlena, and shvuah shel ochlena, and you cancel the first one, it's not necessarily as clear that the second and the third one are still relevant, because it could have been you could have just said very simply, we ignore anything you said past the first shvuah shel ochal, because that's already, right, those are basically ignored, so you can't necessarily prove it from there.